Greg, thank you very much for that Bible reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Keep your Bibles open there. We'll be looking at that today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 12. Verses 7 through 12. What a joy and a delight it is to be with you once again. Obviously, we are missing the opportunity to be with our church family in such a, a drastic way. And we're trying to keep in communication as much as we can with emails and text and calling one another. So one of the things that, you know, we need to be doing is checking on one another. So let's continue to do that and just know that we certainly do miss in the greatest way that we can say being together. But be that as it may, we're able to continue on, and we appreciate always the leadership that our elders provide and this worship today, that each one of them are here each and every time that we gather, as well as our friend and brother Chris Robinson, to do as much as we can to make this just as normal as is humanly possible. Well, it's time for Bible check. We don't want to forget that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, hold them up. God bless you for bringing your Bibles in your private homes there and opening them up to these passages. Let's pray together before our study. Heavenly Father, we give you thanksgiving for another day of life. We're grateful for the first day of the week and for the significance that it holds in the life of the New Testament Christian. We're grateful, Father, that we can sing these songs and pray these prayers, participate in communion, have the opportunity to give, to open up the Holy Word and study truths that are certainly applicable to our lives in this day and time. We certainly are mindful of those who've asked us to remember them in prayer, especially those of the household of faith, our friends and neighbors. We want to pray for those, Father, who are infected with this terrible virus. And certainly our thoughts and prayers are with those who are working feverishly to come up with a vaccine in order to help stop this illness in its tracks. We pray for all of those who are involved in this process. But even more than this, we're concerned about those who are sin sick and do not know that the vaccination is available through Jesus Christ. And we pray that we will be instruments through which Christ can be made known in the hearts and lives of others. We pray for forgiveness. We pray that you look down upon us and realize that we're weak and sinful people. And sometimes we do say and think things that are contrary to your way, will, and word. And upon our repentance and confession, that you will forgive us of those faults and failures. And for those who've yet to name the name of Christ, we pray that they will be touched in their heart today through the proclamation of your word, to be moved to obedience, and to let one of us know of their desire to reach the blood of Christ or to rededicate their life to Christ. Thank you for Jesus. It's in Jesus' name that we pray our prayer. Amen. Well, the title of the lesson, as you see, is called Down But Not Out. And I think you're going to see that as we go along and we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and read all of the verses, and then we will go back and dissect some of those verses. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Notice what Paul says here. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life is in you. One of the things I want us to think about as we start out here in this message is this. We are a container that houses the treasure of Jesus Christ. That seems to be Paul's emphasis here in verse 7. He says, you need to understand that you are that earthen vessel. You are that physical body. And in that physical body, mind, soul, and spirit, you house all the treasures of Jesus Christ. And since that is true, he seems to say, as we begin verse 8, there is a bend but not break. And let me illustrate it this way. In the National Football League, in college football, even in high school football, sometimes you'll hear a commentator make the analogy that you have this offense that's going from the 20-yard line to the 20-yard line, and it seems like when they get to the 20-yard line, the defense is stiffening up, and they have a bend but not break defense. Really, we stop and think about it. That's what Paul is saying here as we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. And so he's going to mention a number of things relating to that and things that we could certainly relate to in our life. And the first one is pressure. I don't know anybody today that doesn't feel under some degree of pressure. And the idea here, as you see the slide, it's where we are pressed or we are confined on every side. You know, it's similar to this. If you've ever been in my classroom, in classroom 8, from time to time, the classroom begins to get full, and sometimes we have to bring in an extra chair or two, and some people get up and they walk out, and I say, where are you going? And they say to me, I feel closed in. I feel claustrophobic, and I have to get out of there and get to a more wide open space. A few years ago, Tina and I had the opportunity to go back to a town that I'm very familiar with, a city, really, the city of St. Louis. And we decided I was going to take her up into the arch. And as we got into these little bitty capsules, there were about five of us, and we were squeezed together, and we went up at an angle up to get to the top of that arch. Well, I want to tell you this much. I don't usually suffer from claustrophobia, but I kind of felt confined and pressed on every side when we were going up into the arch in that little capsule with just five people squeezed together. That seems to be Paul's thought here in verse 8. He says we are confined on every side. He says we feel the pressure. We feel pressed together. But notice what he says there. He goes on to say, as a rejoinder to that, yet not crushed. So there's the concept of bending, but not breaking. The second thing he talks about in this passage is this. We are perplexed. You ever been perplexed? We all have. You ever been baffled or puzzled? Let me tell you of a man in the Bible who was perplexed, who was puzzled, who was baffled. His name was Job. I want you to think with me for a couple of minutes about Job. All of the things that he endured, all of the things that he went through. Job was perplexed about his life. And he made a statement in Job chapter 13 and verse 15 that I think is really worth our attention. So I know you have your Bibles. Just go back there to the Old Testament with me for a few minutes to Job chapter 13 and verse 15. And let's see what this idea is behind being perplexed. Job said this about halfway through the book, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. If you really stop and think about it, you could talk about Abraham and Noah and all of those Bible characters that at one time or another, they were perplexed at what God's overall will and plan was for their lives. And today we face some of that. We're perplexed in the modern situation that we find ourselves in. We're baffled by it. We're puzzled by it. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how long it's going to continue. And we're kind of perplexed. But notice what Paul says again as the rejoinder here. He says, we are perplexed, but we're not in despair. I think that's encouraging to look at and to see. The third thing he talks about in the passage is he says we are persecuted. If there was anybody who understood or knew about persecution, it was the Apostle Paul. You remember what we talked about last week? You can go back and look at it. As a matter of fact, on our March 29th broadcast, you can go back and look at that. But what we talked about was his transformation from Saul of Tarsus to the great Apostle Paul. And as he became the Apostle Paul, he now was the one who was persecuted instead of persecuting others. And so he understood what it meant to be persecuted. Later on, he told a young evangelist by the name of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And you might remember the words of Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 10. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Or you might remember the words of the Hebrew writer in chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, where he says, "I will not fear what man shall do to me, for the Lord is with me. He will not forsake me." What a wonderful thought it is that even though we may be persecuted, look at the rejoinder once again to this. Even though we may be persecuted, he says, "but not forsaken." So those words from the Hebrew writer ring true. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You might even remember the last verse of Matthew chapter 28. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world," or even to the end of the age. So even though we may experience persecution, even though we may be down, we are not out. And that leads us to the fourth P word that's in our category here, and that is that we might have personal struggles, that we might have personal difficulties, that we might have personal demons that we're constantly working on in our lives. I want you to think about boxing for a minute. And I want to take you to a movie that came out in 1976. Now, I realize that dates me, but and if you are a younger person watching today, you will certainly want to Google this, and it is the movie Rocky. Right there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a movie that Rocky, he was battered, he was bruised, he was bloodied, but he was never beaten. If you go back and you watch that movie, every time that he got punched and hit and knocked down, every single time, what did Rocky do? He got up. Rocky Balboa. He got up. He was knocked down over and over and over and over a time. And even they made sequels to that movie. There was another sequel a few years later where he went up against Apollo Creed. Just go back and look at some of those movies, and one of the things you'll always remember about Rocky was this. He got knocked down, but he always got up. When you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, we read, "Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." I don't know of anybody who has any age on them whatsoever who hasn't wondered why we experience pain in our lives. Why do we have pain? Did you know, and I don't know the term for this, but there is a term for it, that there are some people who have a condition where they cannot feel pain. And did you know that that's really a terrible thing? You say, why is that a terrible thing? Because you take an 8-year-old child who cannot feel pain and they put their finger on a hot stove and they can't feel pain, they're going to be in a world of hurt in more ways than one. Why do we experience pain? Why do we have pain? Did you know that the Bible answers that question? In your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want you to see with me a fascinating verse, a couple of verses. It's 8 and 9. And the reason why we have pain is because it causes us to rely on God. Look at these two verses with me. "For we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." Watch this terminology. "That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, Paul says we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Paul said, I understand pain. I know what burdens are really like. There was a death sentence in my heart and on my list that people wanted to kill me, and I knew it in my heart. And I understood that. But I also knew that my trust was to be in God, because it was God who could raise the dead. So what I want to do is I want to put up something on the screen for you to see. And it's this. What is it that God cannot do? And that's really what Paul is raising here. You have pain, you have burden, you have distress, you have difficulty, you have reverses, you have sorrow, you have grief. What is it that God cannot do? What Paul helps us to do, and what other biblical writers help us to do, is understand that our pain is temporary. Go back to chapter 4, and we'll just go down to the end of the chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want you to look with me at verses 16 through 18. And notice where Paul says, the pain that you're experiencing, it's temporary. Listen to what he says. Therefore, as a result of the things that we've just read and said in verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, therefore we do not lose heart. In other words, we do not faint, we do not give up. Though our outward man is perishing, that's true of all of us today, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now watch what he says in 17. For our light affliction, which is for us but a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Watch this now, 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, the things which are temporary. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what we have to focus on, the things which are not seen. And that reminds me of maybe one of the most motivational, helpful, useful, encouraging, stimulating verses in all of the Bible. Over in the second to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. I want you to see this, because I believe this will be a very great encouragement to you this morning in the face of all that we're facing. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's Paul helping us to understand that the pain that we're experiencing today and the pains that we have in our life from time to time, these are light afflictions which are but for a moment. But he says, let us focus on that which is ahead of us and that which is in front of us. There are two things I'd like to talk about as we wrap up our lesson today. And that's this. When we think about being knocked down but not out, it makes me think about becoming more and more like Jesus. Have you read lately Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10? Here's what it says. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. As I learn more and more about Jesus, it helps me to understand that I can get knocked down but not out. And the second thing I want to call your attention to is what we read in John 16 and verse 33. And if you take your Bibles there, this is where we'll end. I'll have a few words about the invitation, but as far as the message is concerned, this is where we want to end this morning. John chapter 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. These two are the words of Jesus. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what is the message today in the face of all that we are facing today? You might get down, but you're not out as long as you stay with the Lord. And now it's time for you to say amen. Right there in your own living rooms, dining rooms, wherever you are today, you can say amen to that. What we do at the end of all of our messages, we have a time where we call it decision time. And that's true right now. If you're listening to this early in the morning, in the afternoon, later on in the evening, if you pick it up later in the week and happen to just catch the message in and of itself, it's an opportunity for us to know the Lord intimately and personally. And when we say know the Lord, we're talking about the fact that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're willing to take inventory of our lives and say, you know, I'm not living the way that I need to be living. And I want to turn that around. And I want to be a person who will confess the sweet name of Jesus. And I want to be able to say that I believe from my heart and with my lips that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to consummate that by being buried in a watery grave of baptism, enough water to immerse me, where incidentally I reach the blood of Jesus. And it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses me and takes my sins away. We can help facilitate that today in your life, today, if you'll make that decision. Contact one of us and let us know what your decision is. It may be that you've thought a lot about your life here lately and you're not living in harmony with God as a Christian. And you know that times are difficult. And you know that people are dying rapidly and quickly. And that you want to do what it takes to be right with God. If you will repent of that, confess that, ask for prayer, God will forgive you. And God will forget it. It's been great being with you today, and I want you to know that I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for listening.